I try and give everyone the time of day, just a moment of my time if I've got it. Because people in general have an amazing story to tell. That's what I've discovered. And you can learn from them and they can learn from you. And it's an exchange of energy. And 99% of people are cool, yeah? And that's how I met Rowdy. He was a student of mine and I think he's got a nice bike and I said, oh, that's a cool bike, man. And we just struck up a conversation. And it's culminated in him allowing us to use his music for our podcast. And his music has a lot of soul, guys. It is non-generic. You know, we discussed his creative process. We discussed how he started, you know, how these things come to him. And he was nice enough to record a song right there in the studio for us about midway through the podcast. You guys have got to understand that Rowdy is very, very far out of his comfort zone coming to the studio and talking to me. The guy communicates through his guitar and through his songs, and that's why his songs are very powerful and they have a lot of soul in them. So welcome him, embrace him, and always make sure to check his stuff out. Rowdy Strum on Facebook, and it's across all sorts of charts. Just have a search at SoundCloud, all that stuff. And I cannot say how much I appreciate him letting us use his music and how much I appreciate him coming to the studio, stepping out of his comfort zone and joining us for a pretty cool interview. Hope you're well. Hope everyone's cool. Look after yourselves, guys. Nearly at the end of January. Past the end of January now. How fucking crazy is that? So, you know, just stay disciplined, keep hustling. And thanks very much for your time. We'll talk soon. Cheers. I'm back. I just realised I didn't tell you what songs we're playing this week. We're going to play Demons in My Mind because we had a conversation about that on the podcast and it was a song I was thinking about and it is a really, really cool song and I think a lot of the guys and girls that listen to this podcast can relate to that song because we've all got Demons in My Mind. And just for a bit of fun, I'm going to bring Everlong back at the end. Thanks, guys. Thanks to Jono for the intro. Thanks again to Rowdy. Check their stuff out, Facebook, Instagram. Give them a follow, give them a like. That's how we keep this crazy world turning, it seems, at the moment. And yeah, have fun. Talk soon.
Have I burned out? Have I blackened the ground? Will I fight back, find my strength? Have been gold, tomorrow losing their shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. I never turned to the bottle to wash away the demons in my mind. I stood up and knocked. I walk out of the road. Have I burned out? Have I blackened the ground? Will I fight back, find my strength again? Days have been bold, but tomorrow losing their shine. Will I give up? Doubting. I never turned to the bottom to wash away the demons in my mind. I stood up and knocked them down. And if you wanna take me out, you need more than both your I fight back, find my strength again. Days have been gold, tomorrow news and their shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. Will I give up? I doubt it. Will I give it all away? No way.
G'day everyone, welcome back. Great pleasure tonight to have the man Rowdy Strum himself in the house. How are you, mate?
Oh, good, thanks.
Thanks for coming, man. Like, and honestly, thank you for letting us use your music, man. Like,
yeah, that's all good, man.
I love it, you know. I love it. And I suppose that's where we want to start, mate. So your album's Non-Generic.
Yep.
So what's your musical story, mate? You know,
my stepfathers and that played guitar when I was younger. So they used to get on the stubbies and play guitar all the time. Sometimes the drunker they got, the better they played.
Yeah.
But, I used to ask for a turn, but sometimes they just, because I was younger, you know, they just wouldn't give me a go, or I'd have to wait till they're sober to show me something.
Yep.
But, I always liked guitars, but I didn't play them much. But when I got older, around about 21 years old, I moved into an old house to rent out.
Yep.
And I found Neil Young's Harvest cassette. It was that long ago, it was a cassette.
A cassette, yeah, I remember cassettes.
And I played that, and I liked the harmonica with the guitar, and I loved it straight away, so I went out and bought a guitar. So I think I bought my first guitar for $15.
Well, that's the classic story, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
There's something, I know, it's a bit of a diversion, however, you're a man after my own heart, because I love harmonica.
Yeah.
I love a good blues harmonica. Like the, what's it, the duet song?
Fair Dinkum Duet
that we put on last week's podcast. I love harmonica, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tuesday's Gone by Metallica, the harmonica solo on that is fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I make people, listen to the harmonica. There's something about that marriage between a guitar and a harmonica, you know what I mean? Because they can both go so far, can't they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, with that harmonica, I actually met had a mate, he travels around and does he does exams, marks exams, and just lives in his camper van. And he was going to do the harmonica, but I went out to see him at the campground to record it.
Yeah.
And he actually met someone there who's really good, so he got him to come up and do the harmonica.
Yeah, right.
So he just listened to the Fair Dinkum Duet without the harmonica and just played the harmonica.
Oh wow,
and that's
really?
How I got it on there. Yeah.
So that recording of the harmonica on Fair Dinkum Duet is separate. That wasn't in the studio when you do that. So he listened to the song in his earphones and played the harmonica to it.
We got him on a Zoom.
Yeah.
And then went back to Matt Anderson, who's my producer, and he moved his magic of mixing it in with my
Non-Generic songs.
Yeah, Fair Dinkum Duet. Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, so the album's Non-Generic. However, that's like 20 years in the making, did you say, mate? Cause
After I got the guitar, I started playing other people's songs, and other people that had guitars used to say to me, oh, you're doing it wrong. So it made me go into my room, and I just thought, well, if I'm doing everyone else's song wrong, well, I'll just make my own stuff up.
Yeah, right.
But I thought no one would like it, so I stayed in my room for 20 years before I actually come out and played for the first time on stage. So, yeah, it was around 20, 21 years.
So did you learn just tabs? Is that how you learned to play?
Just looking on watching people play. I didn't have the internet then.
Right.
So books. Some of the tabs on the books, I couldn't do some of the chords, so I just learnt the chords I could.
Right.
And
just put your own stuff
together. Yeah.
So there's what, 8 songs on the album?
13.
12?
12. 12, yeah.
Yeah.
There's one live track.
Yeah. So how many have you got apart from that, or is that?
Oh, I've probably got about 40 altogether. I've still got a lot to record, and I'm still writing songs, so.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I think, I was trying to think before, because I re-listened to the ones that I had downloaded, the ones you've given me is that as well. It's like, it's hard to find a favourite. Like, obviously, I connect a lot with Bathe in the Sun, you know, coming out into the sunlight and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So are those songs attached to times in your life? Like, is it sort of like a,
Or does that just come? Is it the muse? You know what I mean? Like, does it come from the ether for you, or is it?
Yeah, it comes from the ether. Yeah, it just comes from nowhere sometimes. Sometimes I've got a song on one of my first EP I done in 2010.
Yeah.
2012, something like that. And I tend to dry. I just woke up singing that.
Really?
And I don't even remember the dream.
But you woke up with the lyrics in your mind.
Just the part, I'm tinder dry or flames, which means I'm either happy or very angry at that time.
Yeah, right. So it's interesting how that stuff comes out to you. So, and you put that album together yourself, didn't you? You paid for it all yourself, all that sort of stuff, because it's not...
Yeah, but I got quoted $8,000 to do 10 songs in a big studio.
Yeah.
And then I got onto Matt Anderson, and I done it at his place. It wasn't that much, but it was a good price. And like Matt, he plays the drums and the bass and the lead guitar on my songs. I just play the rhythm, write the songs and the music.
So when you're laying it down, you're just playing the rhythm and singing, and then he comes and lays it over the top.
Yep.
Yeah, right. So that's how come you did, because you just solo when you're out and about.
Doing yourself. Or if I'm at a jam and Matt's there, he plays the drums and that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Because a lot of people can't connect with me, because people come up to me on the stage and they say, "Oh, what key are you playing in, mate?" And I don't know what keys are. So I say, "Skeleton key, man."
The skeleton key.
So hope for the best. And I change keys during the song, and people get lost when they jam with me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's because you're self-taught, isn't it?
Yeah.
You told a good story about the doorknob, you know what I mean? You used to sing to the doorknob on your cupboard was the microphone before we turned the mic on.
Yeah, close my eyes and pretend I'm in front of a big audience here.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was younger.
So what was there a catalyst to make it to come out, or was it...
Well, what happened is I went down the music shop because they had a talent quest on at the showgrounds in Beenleigh. It was a sugarcane festival.
Yeah.
And I went down to the shop. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to walk in the shop and ask for an application form and go home and think about it. So I went in the shop and I said to the bloke, "Oh, I want to apply to play at the Cane Festival.
Yeah.
Can I have one of the forms?" And he comes out and he slapped it on the table and he said, "What's your name, mate?" And went to write on it. And I thought, "Oh, no." So I gave him my name and all my details. And he says, "Oh, you've got to go into the heats down at the supermarket.
Yeah.
We'll just put this in for you." And I thought, "Oh, no, I'm trapped. I've got to go on stage in front of people." I couldn't even drive past the local shopping centre. My heart would start pounding.
Yeah, right.
So I went, actually won the heat.
So you went down, there's a play down the local shopping centre.
Yep.
And then, what, you got the... Well, I suppose it's a little bit different, obviously, doing the podcast thing, you know, like I release it out to the world. Well, I haven't done a live one. I do want to do a live one eventually.
Yeah.
However, what was the obviously, as you say, palpitating heart? Did you just get into the music and lose yourself, or?
I had a fear that people were going to throw stuff at me or boo me or something. That was my biggest fear.
That was your biggest fear, that people wouldn't like it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once you got in front of the, got strumming the guitar and.
Yeah, I was first up. Like the bloke called me up first to play first before anyone else. So I didn't get to see what everyone else was like. So, I was pretty nervous, but I got through my song pretty good. My song's Pieces, that's actually a non-generic.
Pieces, yeah.
That was the song I played that day.
And the judges
said that I was the best on that heat. So there was about three heats, I think, and two or three people from each heat got through. Then we played at the Sugarcane Festival in the final.
And how did you go there?
Oh, I got a fourth place.
Fourth place.
Because I pushed the microphone away from my foot. Because I didn't know how to use one. I never used a microphone before.
Yeah, because you were just playing to yourself.
Yeah.
And you didn't play at any parties for your mates or anything else like that?
No, like people in my family, my nephews and that turned up to watch me. Didn't even know I had a guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was that personal for you. So
yeah.
How do you feel now? Because obviously you were saying, was it Drupal? Was it Drupal?
Yeah, on Drupal, yeah.
And your songs are doing very well.
Yeah, for what I put up, they're doing really well. I've got three songs on the folk charts and that soon, at the moment, I should say. Bathe in the Sun was on the punk charts. No one could get near it for 3.5 weeks, but it's starting to slip away now.
Yeah. So what is that going to give you any sort of exposure? Like, are you getting any correspondence because of that, or what? How does it work?
Not really. I do get a lot of correspondence, like in emails from record companies and stuff like that, asking to send me my MP3s out to them, but I don't trust them. You know,
it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we were talking about before, I get approached by a lot of different places with the podcast as well, and I feel the same way. It's like, what do you want my stuff for? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's,
you know, you can't, you want to try and meet them face to face, sort of thing, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do, and I'd like to see the small print, if you know what I mean.
That's right.
There could be something in the small print, and they'll take my songs or my royalty, or, you know.
You don't know, yeah. I mean, you know, probably pay to explore some of those options. I mean, that you know, like I was discussing with you before, that's part of my plan this year, is to try and explore more of those options, you know what I mean? I think we're a bit similar like that. It's like, this is my baby, your songs are your babies, and it's like, I don't know if I want to take it out of this space, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you know, do I lose control of it, I suppose, is the fear, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Do you have a favourite song?
Lazy Afternoon.
Lazy Afternoon.
Yeah, but it doesn't do too well with anyone else. But Tears by the Dozen was my first one out of the first EP I did.
Yeah. Is that Tears by the Dozen? Is that, that's not on the new one though, is it?
No, it's on SoundCloud.
It's on SoundCloud.
I've done a 5-song EP. It's got Tears by the Dozen, Tinder Dry, Blue Moon Love, Whistle in the Wind, and Demons in My Mind.
Yes, because that's when I've played SoundCloud. Because these songs you're saying are coming to me. Because as I say, I'm a fan, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I've just let your stuff play on SoundCloud, you know, I don't know, 10 or 20 times easy by now, just for something different. How do we categorize your music, though? You know what I mean? Because I get people ask me, and I'm like, oh, it's like funkadelic, blues, rock.
Yeah. Well, when people put a lot of singers in the folk genre, so I'm a folk singer.
Yeah, right.
That's what I say to people. But I sing rock and punk. Well, Bad and Sun isn't punk, but it was on the punk charts. But it's actually grunge, so it's halfway between metal.
Yeah,
because
it wasn't
with folk as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It's like, because I've had people ask me, I don't know how to. The fact that your album title is non-generic, actually. Is very apt, I think, because it is non-generic. There is not, it doesn't know where, it's really know where it sits.
Yeah.
Which I love that, though, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, what it reminded me of, it's that different. It's almost like Red Hot Chili Peppers type stuff, you know what I mean? It's actually, it stands apart from a lot of everything else that you hear, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love most about your music, is that it stands apart, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of soul in your songs, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I was interested to sort of hear about like Fair Dinkum Duet. You know what I mean? There's a fair bit. Seems to be a lot of thought and stuff behind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the one we put a Plain Lady Jane. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, that's very cool as well.
Yeah, Plain Lady Jane, I went to Maribota to meet my wife, which was halfway between where I was working and home.
Yeah.
One weekend, and I seen a frangipani tree on the side of the road. It was massive, and it had flowers all over it. And I wrote Plain Lady Jane when I got home.
Yeah, right.
So, because I was just saying in my head all the time, frangipani, frangipani. So it's not actually about anyone.
It's not about anyone?
No, it's just come to me because I'd seen the frangipanis on the tree.
Yeah.
It's like it had hair, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I got that from.
Yeah, right. So you're dragging ideas, because I mean, like, bathe in the sun, you know what I mean? Like, stepping out into the light, stepping out, you know what I mean? Like, was that a song that you wrote for Non-Generic, or was that a song you had in the bag that...
Well, that was an experiment for the album. Because what I'd done was, I was dry hard the radio on one day. I don't play the radio much lately. For some reason, and Eminem was on there, and that song where this hook gets singing and then he starts rapping.
Yeah.
And they sing the hook and he starts rapping. I thought, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to put grunge in that, or heavy metal or something. Yes. And that's how Bathe in the Sun come about. But I play it at home all on the ukulele.
Yeah, I would love to hear it on the ukulele, because it's my attachment to that song is the grunge, is the heaviness.
Yeah.
And then, but you can, I know you can hear the ukulele in it, like the hook in the, you know, in the middle is the ukulele. However, it's so you're not actually writing these songs about people or places or anything else like that. It's just
I do write that, but other songs just come in, pop into my head. Like I wrote a song about my mum and my grandmother. I've written songs about me. I've written songs about being faithful to my wife, which is Whistle in the Wind. So there is a lot about me, and sometimes I'll write a song and then realise it's about me later.
Yes. And does that, because I know, like, doing this podcast has helped me grow, right?
Yep.
So I have grown into a much better man, a much fuller person, because of doing what we're doing now.
Yep.
Does your music help you with that? Does it, you know, obviously, like you say, you write a song, it's like, oh, shit, that's actually about me. Does that then open your mind up a little bit to help you through whatever that issue is, or...?
Oh, yeah, it can. Depends if it's an issue or just a love song, but...
Yes. It's an expression.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, it's quite funny, like you said, you know, well, it must be said that me and Rowdy met through some work that I was doing, and we're doing a bit of training, and, you know, we... Like you said, your nephews didn't know you how to give them a guitar.
Yeah, some of them.
You know, and it's like when I met you, I didn't know either. You know, it was just through the training and talking, and you know, I think we connected because I've got a passion project. You've got a passion project, and you know, it's interesting that people aren't all that they seem sometimes, are they, mate? You know what I mean? I think that's, you know, and someone like yourself who, you know, admittedly doesn't talk much. Yet, you've got all this stuff inside you. You know what I mean? Like you've got 40 songs that you can pull on at a time. You know?
Yeah.
Is that? Do you think that's how? It's obviously how you express yourself, isn't it? Yeah.
See, I've got songs like I work with homeless people for a long time and children that have been hurt.
Yeah.
And like I had a hard time. I don't want to go into too much, but a lot of my music comes from that too. Like I've got a song. I don't even know if I've got a name for it yet, but it talks about homeless people and children that get abused, and you know, see how people complain about spilt milk.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, look, man, I think it's first world problems, mate, I think is one of those things, you know.
So I draw from stuff like that, experiences like that as well.
And that gives you your artistic expression.
Yeah.
Mm. So you didn't. So you weren't classy, you didn't, you had no one really train you on the guitar?
No, not really, no. Because no one knew I had one. I went to a lesson, like, not long after I was in that competition, and the bloke said to me, everything I do on the guitar is wrong. He said, I hold my hand wrong in the wrong place, I strum with my thumb, and I should strum with a pick, which I can't do.
Yeah.
No matter how hard I try.
Yeah.
And but he said, it all sounds good. Like, don't change anything you've done. And he just told me stuff like, look in the mirror when you play, so when you're on stage, you're not looking at your guitar, because I used to do that.
Yeah, right, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, so you're not looking at where your hands are, you can actually see where your hands are, and you know where you're at.
Yeah, just little things like that helped me, and that was it.
Right.
So that's the only lesson I ever had.
So what drew you to the guitar? I mean, because it seems to be a calling. Like, I've got a fair few mates that are very, very good musicians, and they just picked it up.
Yeah. You
know? I think everyone...
I think I struggled to play the guitar good, and I think I still do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, even sing, I listened to myself back on the album, and I think, oh, no.
But see, that's an artist, man.
Yeah.
Right,
but yeah, people say that to me all the time. Like, even I've been around, I've got some really good musical mates that people have never heard about but should.
Yeah.
And I play around them, and sometimes they'll record me and I'll go, oh, and they'll say, no, it sounds good to us, that's just you, same with me and him, we're all the same, we hear ourselves back, and Because apparently when you sing, the vibrations in your head and all that, you hear with your inner ear and all that, you don't hear when it comes back.
No, that's right.
And that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's also, I think it's an artist thing as well. Like, obviously this is a, you know, I listen back to the podcasts and I hate, you know, I'm never satisfied with anything that I do, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that's what keeps us pushing forward though as well. You know, it's like, okay, well, if that sucks, then I've got to keep moving, you know. And is that's the balance though, isn't it? It's like either you can either bathe in the sun and keep moving forward, like that song says, you know what I mean? Like you know, the last mirror that I smashed was more than 7 years ago. It's like, you just got to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, or you can let those demons in your mind beat you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, demons in my mind is about standing up and fighting and doing your best to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Like I've had depressive illness and that's why I wrote that song.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to just roll into a ball. I wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I have.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, because me too, mate, you know what I mean? I know where the black hole is, man. I've been down there. There's a nice comfy place down there that I've been there a few times. And I don't think you ever get rid of it. However, I think you learn to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can recognise it for what it is.
Mm.
And I think it's things like, as you say, music, or, you know, for me it's the podcast or riding my bike, or I've got certain things that I can do that I know will drag me out, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love Demons in My Mind. That one's on SoundCloud, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. I'd love to actually use that for the podcast, man, because I've actually named a few things Demons in My Mind, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think if you're going to move forward, you've got to deal with those demons, you know? And I think, well, you perfect example, mate. You played to yourself for 20 years.
Mm.
Went in to maybe think about sort of maybe having a go.
Yeah.
However,
you got trapped.
You got trapped. But you didn't walk away.
No.
It's like, okay, all right, fine. Universe wants me to go. So, yet, I can only imagine the demons in your mind you had to deal with just to get on that stage the first time.
Oh, yeah, it was hard.
You know?
Yeah.
And even to start playing, you know what I mean? Just to get through that, you know?
Mm.
It's, as I say, it's a bit different here. We get to sit in the cool studio and chill out. Oh, guys, just so you know, there is a fan on in the background. For our international listeners, we're in the middle of a heat wave in Australia. It's like a billion fucking degrees, so we just have the fan on low in the background. So I do apologise for that. However, without that, me and Rowdy would be like pools of sweat. So we will get AC in here one day, mate. But so is that, do you think the music helps with that? Do you think that the music helps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, yeah. It takes you into your zone and,
As I was showing you some of the photos, I know for a long time, for me, mate, it was behind the lens of the camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was, I used to wander the beach in the Northern Territory, in Darwin, with my first digital camera. I lost all those shots too. My mum's bloody computer crashed. I lost like 1,000 photos. However, it's like, I think there were some wicked shots. However, I also think that it wasn't about the photos. It was just about me getting through my day. Because I still work, you know what I mean? Still do whatever you got to do. But it doesn't mean you can't, these things don't play, you know, the demons in your head don't still get into you. However, every afternoon I used to walk the beach and just get behind the lens of the camera, just taking photos, you know. And I think it gives you a different perspective, you know. And you can step outside yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I imagine the music is the similar thing.
Yeah.
You know. It's interesting, mate. It's interesting. So what's your plans moving forward, do you think?
Well, I've been a bit slack lately. It's like I've stood back a bit from music, so I want to get back into going to more places this year to play.
Yeah. Do you think that's because you pushed to get the album out last year, and then it's the rebound, do you think?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, my first LP, it took me about 7 or 8 months to actually play the songs on the guitar by myself for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm going in the studio in the next few weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, right, to start laying some more
stuff. But I'm just going to be doing singles. I'm not going to go in there and, like, from February to August, it took me to get my album done because there's so much to do when you've got 12 songs.
Yeah.
Live track's easy, just live. But there's so much work in it, but I'd just like to get the single, get it in a few weeks, get it out, then go and do another one and stuff like that.
I suppose with your music on Drupal being popular, you sort of got to capitalise a little bit on that as well.
Yeah.
You know? So what have you... So you're pulling from... So obviously you did your 12, 13 songs on Non-Generic, you had your other EP. Are you recording new stuff for the new singles? Are you pulling from
I've got a couple of dark country songs.
Yep.
That I've written. I've got another blues song called Shoestring Budget, and I'm hoping to get a lady called Colleen Parriott, a friend of mine. She plays a recorder. Everyone loves a recorder, but when she plays a recorder, it's magic. So I'm hoping I can get some, because she can do lead breaks on a recorder. She's that good.
Really?
Yeah, it's just brilliant. I'd like to get her on my blues track. She said she'd do it, but I just got to catch up with her.
And I think that's... And see, listening to your music, it doesn't surprise me that you're going to get a recorder on there, you know what I mean? Because it is non-generic. You want to separate it from something else, you know?
Yeah. Instead of the harmonica, have the recorder.
Because
she's got a 6-inch recorder through to a 3-foot one and a bassoon, and she can play violin and everything, so...
Wow.
Sing. She's an absolute brilliant musician. But, it'd be good to get her on the recorder and play.
Violin would be awesome, too. I love a good violin and a blues album as well, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's something else as well, isn't it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, bluegrass as well. Violin's good.
Yeah. No, I love that, man. I love that.
I've got cellos on non-generic, but not violin.
No. So did you... So with that non-generic, you just went and laid down the acoustic and then...
Sung. Yeah.
And then the producer laid it all over.
Yeah, we talked about what we wanted and we tried a few different things.
Mm.
Yeah. Some worked, some didn't.
Mm. So would the aim be to play with a band? But I suppose, it's as you say, it's hard for people to read what you're doing. I suppose you'd have to get in the studio.
Yeah. You know what I'd really love to do is just stand up in front of a band and sing.
Have someone else play the music and you just be lead.
Yeah, because I think I'm a better singer than I am a guitar player.
Yeah.
Like, people never say to me, "Oh, I love your guitar work," they always say, "I love your voice." So, yeah, same with, I get comments on my songs, they say, "Oh, I love the solo in that song," but that wasn't me, that was Matt.
And I tell
Matt and he's like, "Sucked in, man." So that'd be something I'd love to do, is just stand up in front of a band and sing.
And I suppose I imagine and this is sort of just me thinking out loud, that if, because obviously you have your own style and it's hard for other musicians to pick up your style, but if you had traditional musicians doing your music their way, it'd still be the same.
Yeah.
But you could focus on the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if someone played music for me, like a full band played music for me, give me the music, I reckon I could write a song every time.
Yeah, right.
All I'd have to do is, like, sometimes what I do, if I've got a good tune but I can't get the song, I'll play it in the morning before I go to work, and then I'll sing it all day at work, because I'll have that tune in my system, you know what I mean? And not something I heard on the radio. I won't be singing, you sing a song that you heard on the radio and you might not like it, but you still sing it.
You get the earworm in your head, yeah.
So I just, like, play the rhythm
and let that rhythm work in your mind.
Yeah.
And then the words will come.
Yeah, and then by the time I get home, I forget everything. That happens, but that's what I do.
You should use your phone, mate, to take notes.
Yeah, I've done that, yeah.
Yeah. Because I've started doing that as well. It's like, how do you, you know, when you start doing a project, it's like you think so much stuff about it, but then you lose the thought pattern, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to try and capture it in the moment. You know, these smartphones are good for a few things, and that's one of them, I think, is taking notes.
Yeah, sometimes once you push a record button, it cancels out everything. Like, you can't think, you can't, you know, you'll be trying to do something, but you're too busy thinking about the recording. And
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's, and look, I don't, it doesn't, recording it, well, we had a bit of a conversation before we turned the mic on, and, you know, obviously since Grandad passed, it has been harder. The gravity of what I'm trying to do is a lot more. However, recording myself now doesn't bother me anymore. You know what I mean? But I think it's just a repetition thing, isn't it? You know, and you got to get over your own the demons in my mind. I think it comes back to that, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah, right. So, do you want to play something for us tonight, mate, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'll play something. I'll play that song I was talking about before, about the homeless and the.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
No worries.
We'll crack it out, mate. Crack it out.
My mind made a picture of a beautiful day around me. While outside all the grey clouds, they surround me. From the heat which comes with the season, I've got my feet stuck in the mud kind of feeling. How do I get around it? How do I break into a dance? This jagged road's got me jaded. How do I get another chance to start my again? I met a young lady, she lived in the lane for a year now. At the hands of a dealer, she's headed for the sky. A skipping lid has kept her out of the rain again. She had a voice when she sung, it hit me in the gut and made me wanna cry. How does she get around it? How does she break into a dance? This jagged road's got her jaded. How does she get another chance to fight for a future again? Have that kiss a better kind of pain. The milk is spilled and I will hear you cry again. You fight in the mist while the others stand in the pouring rain, and it never seems to wash away any of their pain. Feet in the night scares a young child again. Is it a perpetrator on a mission of violent crime? They don't believe what they say, they don't hear their silent cries. But I wish I could give them butterfly wings so they could fly away to better things. How do they get around it? How do they break into a dance? That jagged road's got them jaded. How do they get another chance to start their life again? Most of us, we have a kiss it better
rather beautiful day around me.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Like that.
Know that?
I do like that. I love that. Most of us have the kiss it better kind of pain.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
That's deep, man. You know what I mean? Like it. That's what I love about your music. You know what I mean? Like it's just there's soul behind it, and like that the message there. That's so. You know, and obviously if you've worked with those people in the past, like I can understand where you come from. A lot of my teaching was teaching Cert 3, and that was a lot of, you know, people on the dole, all that sort of stuff, trying to get a leg up, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, a lot of us have kiss a better kind of pain. That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. And we don't...
People think they're having a bad day because of the rain or the heat.
Yeah.
And they don't want to get motivated, like they've got their feet stuck in the mud kind of feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, you know, realistically, I love that, man. I love that. Are you going to put, so when you go into the studio, are you going to put drums and stuff behind that? Or are you gonna...
Yeah, I think so. That song will be probably a bit like playing Lady Jane, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. But, yeah. Sometimes the best, like Tinder Dry, I thought that song would be smashingly great, but it's pretty plain and simple.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out as good as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, suppose the Tinder Dry was a bit about you, though, isn't there? There's a lot of you in that song, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, that's... Bathe in the Sun, I thought, wouldn't work at all, but Bathe in the Sun seems to be the favourite.
I love Bathe in the Sun. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's between... between Bathe in the Sun and Fair Dinkum Duet for me, but they're sort of two sides of it as well, you know what I mean? Like, that's so deep, man. Like, and it's, I was listening to a podcast today, it's like, we throw out that much food, you know what I mean? Like, all the, we have the ability to look after the people that are downtrodden in this world.
Yeah.
We just choose not to.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I was having a conversation with someone a little while ago. It's like, oh, you know all those rich people? It's like, how much money do you make a year? If you make more than $34,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the fucking world.
Yeah.
The top 1%. You know? Like, how do you... That's a deep song that provokes a lot of thought in me, you know. And obviously, you've there's a lot of thought because you've worked with those people, you know. Like, as I say, I work with them from a training point of view, like helping them do their CVs and giving them the Cert 3 and logistics and stuff like that. That's what I used to do with those kind of guys. However, you know,
we were actually feeding the homeless with a great bloke called Pastor John, and my son was 8 years old when he first fed the homeless. He used to hand out the chocolates on there, because Pastor John didn't give you a cheese sandwich and a cup of tea and a prayer. Like, at the end, if you wanted to pray with him, you could, but he used to give them salads and sausages and lettuce and, you name it. It was on the list, and plus ice cream and chocolate as well. Yeah, so right. My son used to hand out the chocolates and everything, and I think it made him a better person growing up as well.
Well, you see the other side, don't you?
Yeah.
See,
because he's on the back of my bike one day, and he said to me, are these people going to sit here for ages, Dad, or they go straight home? And I just said, mate, they haven't got a home. The street is their home. Mm. And then that's when it really clicked to him, you know, what he is actually doing.
Mm. You know, and I think, yeah, man, it's such a tough one, you know, like, how do you, first world problems, you know, you think that, there's always someone worse off than you.
Yeah.
And I do wonder whether or not this modern world is so crazy that we've created a lot of these things, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to, obviously will always be those transient type of people, however, a lot of it's unnecessary, isn't it?
You know? Yeah.
And to not give people a second chance as well. I think that's, you know, like I worked with a lot of guys that they'd been in jail.
Yeah.
Right. And they were truly trying to get their life back on track, coming to the training, you know what I mean? They came, they were dressed nicely every day, they paid attention, and you know, I talked to them at the end of the week, and you know, I'm like, oh, how are you gonna get a job? So I won't get a job, I haven't been in jail. So I'm like, mate, don't, you know, it doesn't matter. You know,
yeah,
they don't do criminal checks majority of the time in logistics. Don't even, just, you can actually cut yourself here. Just don't even mention it. This is a new opportunity, you know, move forward. However, you know, unfortunately with, you know, the ICE epidemic, there's a few factors, isn't there, that are just dragging.
Yeah,
you know,
this was before the ICE epidemic.
Yeah.
When I was doing it.
You know, yeah. But it's still...
And plus people will go past a homeless bloke begging for money and say, get a bloody job.
Mm.
But what's the transition from not being homeless to homeless? The only people that know are the homeless. So you're thinking, oh, now I'm homeless, oh, where's my birth certificate so I can apply for a job because I'm going to need ID.
Yeah.
You know, where's my bank book?
Yeah, they don't have anything to, you know. And yeah, and the thing is, man, is you don't know people's story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I've learned a lot, is like there's much more behind a lot of people, you know? Yeah. And especially those people, how do they get to that situation? You don't know. Like, you know, like one of the great things the Aussie government did is they closed the institutions that those people that are mentally unbalanced or whatever, you know what I mean? However you want to categorise that. They used to have institutions where they could go and be looked after, and now they don't anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, well, what the fuck are these people supposed to do? They can't operate in society.
Yeah.
Isn't it our job as a Western modern country to help these people? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's, wow. I love that lyric, man. Most of us have kiss a better type of pain, because it's so true. However, a lot of us don't as well. You just don't know. Yeah. You know, you can't... It pays not to judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's... You gotta... Yeah. You know, or you were saying today that you're working with some Muslims.
Yeah.
Best blokes you work with in a long time.
Yeah, they are great people.
Yeah. Hard working, all that sort of stuff.
Hard working,
Yep, I've worked with them as well. You know what I mean? You know, and that's, we have a lot of stereotypes that we base a lot of our judgments on. It's like, step back for a second, you know?
Yeah.
Step back for a second and look at yourself.
Yeah. You know? Like, they even come up to me and say, I will point sometimes because I don't know the words, because they don't know English very well.
Yeah.
Please don't take it the wrong way, like I'm bossing you around. Like,
yes.
Where you go normally, and people just point because they're just arseholes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And they sort of reassure you that they're not. So they've got a good spirit inside them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very kind.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before. I was working with a guy who's a Muslim, and. On that oil rig, actually, that big rig that I showed you before we started,
yeah,
was there. And there's a top drive, which basically controls the drill pipe. And that was it was an external contract. It was a Tesco top drive. And it was a Muslim guy that was looking after that. And we were in Papua New Guinea. And he was a lovely guy. You know, I used to go and, you know, talk to him and all that sort of stuff, because I had to supply him all his parts and all that sort of stuff. And he was doing Ramadan. We're 3 degrees off the fucking equator, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so hot. It's so humid. They can't eat nor drink or anything. I'm like... And I talked to him a lot. You know, he allowed me to watch him do his thing on the mat and all that sort of stuff. Because I'm curious, man. I don't subscribe to anything. However, I like to have an understanding, you know? I like to understand people and their motivations and why, you know? Just so I can understand, you know? And I talked to him, I said, mate, I said, you know, we've talked a lot about Allah as it was back then, you know, and it was, you know, that's what they call golden. And I said, mate, obviously your Ramadan's very important. However, you're looking after this vital piece of equipment. If that piece of equipment fails, you can potentially kill people. And I said, do you think Allah would want that, mate? I said, how about you, because you need to drink water, man. It's 45 degrees and 100% humidity. You didn't look well. He wasn't well. I said, man, you've got to look after yourself. I said, when you go home. I said, do it when you go home. And we had, you know, a conversation about it. And he did, you know. He saw that, and then he came back to me when after we all sort of had our breaks. He came back and he thanked me. He's like, thank you for being honest enough to talk to me about it. And we had many conversations about the Quran and all these sorts of things. Any of these people, you know, they're extremists, you know. Yeah, with a couple of white Aussie blokes tonight. However, mate, there's 1% of us that are complete fuckwits as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. That are just fucking extreme idiots.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I think if we focus too much sometimes on that negative type of stuff, don't we, you know? And if we worked together, like that beautiful song you just played us, we could fix that problem. We could fix the problem that, you know, everybody has the right to believe whatever the fuck they want.
Yep.
As long as you're not hurting anyone, you know? It's all good, you know? And it, what do you see? You said you're colorblind, you know? And I agree with that. You know, I've worked with... It's funny you say the pointing thing. When I was in PNG, these poor blokes that I was working with, they'd only had... you know, white dictators, you know, emphasis on that first syllable, mate, you know, fucking dicks, you know.
Mm.
And they would just, they'd point at them and they'd fucking just order them around. It's like, those boys up there, some of the best workers I've ever worked with, they don't fucking stop, man, you know what I mean? If you give them proper direction, and it's like, so what I do with them, and the way I, you know, well, you've seen the way I train and stuff, I'm with you guys on the floor, I don't sit back. Whatever I need, whatever needs to be done, I'll be right there next to you, doing it with you.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing with these boys, and they didn't know how to take me. So, what are you doing, boss? You know what I mean? So, no, we fucking... Because we had to dig a trench. So, who was the first person with a pick in their hand? It was me. You know? Who was the last person with a pick in their hand? It was me. It's like, that's what... We just got to fucking... Everybody's people, man. You know? Yeah. And if you treat someone with respect, 99% of people... are then going to treat you with respect. And we can learn from each other, you know? So I imagine you're learning some stuff from these Muslim guys working with them.
I've worked with a few before, but these are like the strongest Muslim people. Like, you know, they're real strong Muslim people compared to like just the single one I used to work with.
Well, I think they, you know,
strong believers.
Strong believers. Strong. Yeah, they've got a big belief in that system.
And like I said, I can ask them anything and they'll tell me why they do things. I ask them a few things they do and they've told me why.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why their religion gets them to do it.
Yep.
And they don't mind.
No, they're just trying to share.
They don't say mind your own business or...
No.
Like, the big manager asked Safullah today, was I... good on the forklift, and he said he is the number one forklift driver.
Number one.
I wouldn't expect that from anyone else.
Yeah.
But yeah, since I've known Safullah only a couple of weeks, a few weeks, I expect that from him.
Yeah. Well, you guys have got an honest working relationship. And I think if we could see past their own bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I've always been one of those people that talks to everyone. You know, it's, you know, and my wife's asked me, she's like, you know, you're nice to everyone. It's like, well, because everyone's someone, you know what I mean? Like, just because someone's a little crazy, fucking hell, I'm a little crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just, you don't know what their story is, you know what I mean? You know, there are crazy people that you need to be careful of. However, most people appreciate a smile. You know what I mean? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Know? It's like, just give someone the time of day. You don't have to be someone's best mate. You don't. You know what I mean? Just, what's it called? And I used to do this in one of the training courses that I did. It was to see how you affect people, right? So, you know, next time you go to Woolies or Coles or whatever it is, you pick out the grumpiest checkout person, right? And try and make them smile. Be positive. How was your day? How you doing? What's going on? You know what I mean? Yeah. Try and make them smile and watch the change that you just... What did that cost you? Cost you fucking nothing. Costs you nothing to be nice to someone. What does it give you? It gives you a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It gives you a lot. You know, like... And then I said, and just for a contrast, go and be grumpy. Go and be grumpy and watch that person, how that person reacts to you because you're fucking being grumpy.
Yeah.
You know? That's the difference. If we all could just see that for a second, we could see past, you know? Like... Yeah. It's, makes me sad, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see some of the people that aren't treated with respect, and I think there's a lot of things going on in this modern world that are very good for us, but also very bad for us as well, because, you know, the technology that's allowing us to do what we do now is fucking awesome. However, it's also separating us a little bit as well.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't know our neighbours' names, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people don't anyway. You
know? Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, it's an interesting one. So do you want to cover anything else, mate, or how you feel?
Yeah. It's up to you.
Yeah, that's all good, man. We can wrap it up. I think that was good, man. I think that was, I really appreciate you coming in. And I know that a lot of the listeners would be responsible for some of the downloads of your songs, man. And the fact that...
Yeah, it's much appreciated.
Oh, mate, it's the much appreciated for me. You know, like, for you to give us the music that you give us, to, you know, attach it to the podcast. You know, it's, this podcast is non-generic, mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it works in tandem, you know? And, yeah, look, I'd love to have Demons in my mind as well. Have you got MP3 of that one? Or?
Yeah, I can send it through to you.
Yeah. Because I think that'd be a really good one as well. Because I'm going to start rotating them through, you know what I mean? Rotating them through. You know, and
I think that was my most downloaded song at the time, Demons in My Mind, because a lot of people said to me, it's their anthem. And I'm thinking, no, it's my anthem. You just got to listen to it.
Yeah.
No, but fair enough, you know.
Well, I think that's
what music's about.
It is what music's about. It is what music's about. And I think if you... look, I think it took a lot of courage to come on tonight and join us, and I really, really appreciate it. And I think you've got to make sure you pat yourself on the back every time you get up on that, behind that mic, man. You know what I mean? I think you really got to, because what you're doing is a fucking awesome thing. And as we spoke about before we turned the mics on, we're both doing what we're doing for the same reason, because it's our love. It's a passion, and I want to explore ideas. You want to play that guitar and sing your songs. And I think that's the key, man. You know what I mean? If you can do something that you love, then, you know, would we both like to be paid handsomely for what we do? Of course we would.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
However, does it actually really matter?
No, not at all.
Not at all. It's not about that. Yeah. This isn't about that. Your music isn't about that. And that's what gives your music soul, man. You know, so I think you just... You know, I know, as I say, I've had a fair few listeners ask me about the songs, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. So, and yeah, you're welcome back anytime, man. Maybe we do I'm hoping to have a couple other original musicians like yourself on this year, and maybe we have a bit of a jam session one day and play some music, you know.
See if they can play in the skeleton kit.
See a skeleton kit. Well, thanks for adding, man. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Good on you, everyone. Thanks very much. We'll talk soon.
1, 2, 3, go.
Stop when I say when she sang.